Welcome to the Thursday edition of Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, the Horn app, or even hornfm.com. However you are taking us in, we thank you. You can be a part of the show. Hit us up on the Specs text line, 512-337-3776. Today, we're going to get right into it. The news came out earlier today. Deshaun Watson, 11 games. Is it enough? Some people say yeah. Some people say no. I know people are upset. The Cowboys are still dealing with their problems, and that's at the wide receiver position. We're going to get into that. We're also going to talk about the Texas Longhorns. Coach Sark has talked to ESPN and let them know that, hey, I might have a decision coming up sooner than later. We're also going to get into the flex today. We're going to let you know what's going on. My man Snoop Daniel and his crew have been rocking in. Football season is upon us, and he's going to let you know about all the scrimmages that are out there. And, of course, we got to get into the Horn Top 20 Countdown, brought to you by Allstat Beer. Team right up the road is going to let you know we're here to play. But let's get right into it. Rob B., traveling sucks, man, and the weather is not fun. So he'll be back in here sooner than later, we hope. But I'm your man, Harbaugh Hard. You can follow me on Twitter, at Harbaugh Hard. And we still have the hardest working man at the ARN family. He's behind the glass, but he's going to bring it to you today. He is my man and yours, Patrick Davis. PD, what's going on, brother?
Yes, sir, man. It don't rain for 6 months. Six months in this town, and the day our man Rob Baber is trying to get back into town, they got to ground some flights. So I know he's been texting us all day. He was ready to get back, but we're going to hold it down for you. And I do want to tell the people, if you want to join in on the conversation on the Specs text line, 512-337-3776, I'm making my NFL fan free agency decision tomorrow. I will have it for you tomorrow on the show. So if you want, I got three teams left, the San Francisco 49ers, the Detroit Lions, and the Las Vegas Raiders. Those are my three that I've gotten down to. I've weeded off the top teams, the Super Bowl champs and everything. Got to get it. I can't be bandwagon too much on any of them.
You cannot.
I had to knock out the NFC East because I didn't want to compete with the Cowboys. I root for them.
Yeah,
I root for them, but I'm not going to be their fan, but I'm going to root for them.
Okay.
I'm not going to compete against my Texans, so the AFC South. So I've knocked out a lot of teams. I got three left. You got any pros or cons? Because I haven't made up my mind.
You still got some stuff out there. I want y'all to hit us up on the Specs text line. And if you tell us who Patrick picks, that will be a party for sure. Because the problem that I'm having, Patrick, because I did get a chance last night to catch up on Hard Knocks. I got a chance to watch Hard Knocks, both episodes, episode one and episode two. Patrick, I'm finding it hard for you not to be a Detroit Lions fan, man.
Man, I'm telling you, there's a lot to like in Detroit of youth. There is a lot, if you look at the history, to learn lessons from history. And then there's also the fact that, like, being a Lions fan, you can't watch the game. Like, they're not on TV. this is every Detroit Lions game I watched last year was, hey, man, they're trying to get a win. And it was, like, at the end, it was a bonus coverage.
Yes.
And then it was, they lost again. So there is some cons to that. I know that they've got since one of the daughters took over there, the organization seemed to do better. They've tried to make things up with Barry Sanders. They've tried to make things up with
Barry
Calvin
Johnson. He was on yesterday's episode.
So to get those guys, there's a lot of positives for the Detroit Lions. There's a lot of positives, I think, on all three of these teams.
There is.
That's why they've made it to the final. People were wondering about Detroit Lions. I'm just saying I'm vindicated that they were in my final three because people are starting to see Hard Knocks. They're like, oh, yeah, this is what I'm talking about. How can you not love Dan Campbell?
Yeah.
But this is the problem with the Lions. Is there they have the same problem as the 49ers have, which is I really like their coach.
Okay.
If that coach isn't there in 2 years, there might be problems.
How long are you going to be there, right?
Exactly.
This is something that
Raiders,
you have to
I
do.
I don't like their coach, okay. So I don't care if he's gone.
Okay. Okay.
I'm not a Bill Belichick tree fan, so Josh McDaniels is not the reason I would pick the Raiders. So there's a benefit for them is that I'm not coach reliant on them.
Are you still upset as a Texans fan because of the Bill Belichick tree that came to Houston and pretty much maybe destroyed?
I'm mad that there was people. The reason I leave the Texans is there's people there who thought that Patriot South was going to work. And when it did not work, doubled down and tripled down and quadrupled down.
Okay.
And look, Casario is doing a great job. I'm a fan of what Casario has done there. But there's still people making decisions above Caserio that I'm not a fan of.
Right.
So I'm still walking away from the Texans. But I think Caserio finally came in and was like, oh, yeah, we're not the Patriots.
We're not.
We're not. So let's not try and be that. Hey, is Bill Belichick coaching here?
No.
Then no. The fact that Bill Belichick is so petty now that he won't name an offensive play caller just because he's like, well, y'all are going to try and hire him away. And y'all are going to think
that is
and y'all are going to take credit, but he won't. So it's Matt Patricia and Joe Judge, both two former NFL head coaches.
Both who are defensive-minded and a special team coach.
Yeah, and both those are now the play callers for offense, and people are wondering why the Patriots offense might be struggling right now.
Yeah, there is a lot to get into and a lot of layers. And if you want to be a part of the show and help Patrick pick his team, as he said, hit us up on the Specs text line. 512-337-3776. Well, let's get right into it. The news of the day, the biggest news that has been out there. We've been following this story since the very beginning, since the suspension and everything else, when all the stories started to come out about Deshaun Watson and his, I don't even want to call it a fetish. I don't want to call it a fetish for massages, but his problem with massages. Let's just go with that. He's got some problems when it comes to massages. The NFL and the NFL Players Association on Thursday, which is today, reached a settlement in the Deshaun Watson's disciplinary matter. They have all agreed to an 11-game suspension. Now, without pay, and he has to pay $5 million in fines, which is the highest of any NFL player had to pay for a fine. And he has to undergo mandatory evaluation by behavioral experts and follow the treatment program. Now, we all sat in here with the initial ruling that came down. It was six games. Feels like 6 months for Deshaun. It's going to feel like a couple years, actually. But six game suspension, no fine initially.
Yeah.
Then they went to the appeal. Roger Goodell, who was pounding his chest in the very beginning, talking about, I want a full year. He wants that full year, and he's trying to save face with the NFL sponsors.
Yeah.
The women that are part of the NFL.
All the mothers of children who need to have kids,
yes,
play football so he can have a crop of talent to pick from.
Yes. So he was out there pounding his chest and letting everybody know, I am asking for this. This is what I see. Now, when I put it out to all these other people, whatever their decisions are going to be, we're going to have to work through that. The initial one, 6 games, he didn't like it. He wanted more. So he sent it to somebody else. And now we got our ruling. Now, the question is, are people going to be happy with this? Some people are like, no, he should be gone for a year. 11 games is pretty steep when it comes to especially for someone who was not charged in the court of law. He went to the jury. They threw it out. He was not indicted on any of those charges. Does it make him innocent? No, we've talked about that a lot. But does it make him a good guy? Absolutely not. People are already judging him. But now that it's all done, can we all set it to the side and move on and not continue to talk about this issue?
No. I mean, people are still going to bring it up. We saw what Jacksonville fans were chanting at him in week one, which we can't
even
say on the radio.
In unison.
But it was very clear what you could hear what they were saying. So we know that it's going to be every game he plays. And let's see. What's the first game he's eligible to play in?
Oh, I don't know. I've heard a rumor that it might be.
It's the Houston Texans.
Houston.
The team that he walked away from.
Right.
And did not play all of last season. And again, last season he wasn't going to play anyway because there was looming legal action against him anyway last season.
Yep.
But he said he wasn't going to play anyway. But if you look through whatever happened, and we see the comeback that it's like, well, $5 million is the most. It's not. It's the most fine arbitrated game checks.
Yeah.
But this is the problem. He circumvented the game check thing. Because his base salary for this year is around $1 million. I've seen different things said that it's like $690,000 or that it's $1 million or so. There's some like variation in there of how much his actual salary is for this season. But they basically took his season for this year and put it into signing bonuses that is spread over his next 4 years. And then the years that are spread out over have regular game checks in them for the next 4 or 5 years. if you take all that money, which I did earlier today, you take the money and you basically split it back into the entire length of the contract, he'd be missing out somewhere between $20 to $25 million in game checks.
Right.
In these 11 games. Well, he's now not going to miss out on that. He's only losing like another $300,000 in game checks. So the $5 million fine, he found a loophole and they let him do it.
Right.
That, to me, the 11 games, I get. I'm not thrilled about it, I think, especially after he came out today.
Oh, my gosh.
Really did not seem remorseful at all. He said people were triggered. That's why he's a sorry. So, like, stuff like that is got to make Roger Goodell, why Roger Goodell said, oh, this is why I want a year, because I know he will not – he does not feel any remorse.
Right.
And the fact that he will still say, I did nothing wrong, let's get rid of him for a year. But if you want to take all that and go 11 games, I get it. They didn't want a lawsuit, everything, so they settled it beforehand. The $5 million – that's what gets me, because they basically said, oh, hey, future, every team who has a guy like this who's going to be suspended, you can go ahead and circumvent it. You right. can just get around it. We won't go back and charge him $20 million because that's what he would lose in game checks. And we're supposed to be spending, I think it's going to turn out to be $7 million total is I think what they said in fines and fees. And they're supposed to be putting that into organizations that help out with domestic violence and with sexual assault. So they'll be putting the money into that. You could probably do more with the $20 million. You should have fined him.
Right. Right. This is one of those things where we sit here and we can nitpick it. We can always go back and forth with it and try to say this is right, this is wrong. But again, this has gone through the courts. This has gone through the arbitrators. This has gone through a third party after this.
Yeah.
Roger Goodell has gone out there and spoke to everybody that wanted to listen to him and say, I will not stand for this. So now the ruling is the ruling. We know that he's going to be suspended for 11 games. We talked about it before. We thought once they said they were going to appeal it, we thought it was going to be 12.
Yeah.
At least 12.
We thought it was going to be less than double digits added
right.
to his. So at six games, it would have been 11 to make it a full season. We thought double digits was going to be a lot to add. They add five onto it, which about hits what we said.
About, yeah. And the other part of it is, I thought the, like you said about how his contract is structured, I thought it was going to be more of a fine. We thought it was going to be double digit fine money.
Yeah.
And I'm glad they worked it out. They negotiated it. They were trying to get ahead of it. It ended up getting worked out. But for me, and people that are going to be judgmental, as they always are, we all are. I mean, we're guilty of it as well. But this is what we've talked about before when you go through these justice systems. You know, there's been verdicts. There's been rulings that have been thrown out. There's been so many things that have happened throughout the course of history in these types of situations. Nobody's ever going to be happy with the result. Nobody.
Yeah.
Either one. Deshaun's not happy. His agency is not happy. They think he should not have been fined. They think he shouldn't have been suspended because of what we talked about before. The court of law states, the court of public opinion
yeah.
thinks he should not play football ever again. But let's not forget, we always are talking about redemption. The problem is his redemption doesn't seem to be taking place because of some of the words that are coming out of his mouth. I believe the way to be contrite is to apologize like he did initially.
Yeah, when he was still getting settlement.
When he was still going through this. But now he's to the point where he is just losing all hope and credibility to be able to do something, because now he's just talking and not understanding the significance of the words that are coming out of his mouth.
Exactly. And I get, too, he still has lawsuits out there. He still has four people who have not settled with him, right?
Yeah.
So he still has people that have not settled with him, so he can't say too much, and I get that. And if he would have walked out today and said, hey, guys, I understand, I'm happy with the settlement, we'll be able to address this in the future, but as of right now, due to other legal standings, I cannot comment too much on this.
Yeah.
Everyone would have been upset that he couldn't comment. But they also would have said, oh, we understand. He has a legal reason
yep.
that he can't come out and say, I did something wrong. Because the second he says that, he owes them a lot more money in that court of law. And he knows that. So I get that part, but you can't come out and say, I apologize if I offended people, but I didn't do nothing wrong.
Yeah.
That's where you're missing, because we all go, man, you just said that that you were you did, and you accept responsibility, and now you don't respect – now you don't.
Yeah.
And so it's mind-boggling to go through. I'm happy at least that they're not going to play for this last preseason game, that they're basically saying, all right, you need to go home.
Yeah, you get your life together.
And after we saw his performance, it's like, man, you need to go find some people to work out with.
Yeah.
Because you need to get back in game shape, because it's going to be, I believe the number is 700 days from the last time he played a game of football, like an actual regular season game. It'll be 700 games by the time he gets back, 700 days.
That's a crazy number.
That is
an insane number. But that's why people are always talking about these other guys that are off the street. When you're like, who's going to be able to come off the street and play in a game? It's hard.
Yeah.
And he was probably a top five quarterback before all of this stuff start to happen. But to go back to what you were saying, I want to read his initial statement before he continued to keep talking. I am grateful that the disciplinary process has ended and extremely appreciative of the tremendous support I have received throughout my short time with the Browns organization. I apologize once again for the pain this situation has caused. I take accountability for the decisions that I've made. My focus going forward is on working to become the best version of myself on and off the field and supporting my teammates however possible while I am away from my team. I'm excited about what the future holds for me in Cleveland. Now, that right there was perfect.
Fine.
Great. Don't say anything else after that.
Pending lawsuits. Can't answer anything else.
Right.
And I get that.
Like my man said right here, plead the fifth. He pleaded the fifth. Like, you shouldn't continue to have this conversation.
Yeah.
You should be able to move on personally and say, I've said what I needed to say. I'm not gonna do any more of this, because I still, you know, he has settled these lawsuits, but you still need to. I mean, you're not going to get double jeopardy on this one.
Yeah.
It is what it is right now. But you do need to sit back and kind of take that moment and say, man, I will comment at a later date when I come back. When I come back to the field.
No, once the lawsuits are settled, once everything's fine. But even if you would have just come out and said, I need time to reflect on this entire time in my life, so I can't comment. All of those things are cop-outs I get. But I would take the cop out to what he said. And yeah, it's for me, though, the biggest thing of all this is that the fine, I can't believe they didn't. That he said, I take six games, what did he say, eight games in the fine, and they just put three more games on him?
Yep.
I go, man, put two in 20 million. Make it 20.
Man, I think they would have been, that would have been one of those lawsuits for sure ready to happen.
But it would have. But also, that's the easiest one, is you go, oh, he circumvented this by doing a contract, and we are just literally recouping game checks. That is all we want from his game checks, because this is what the fine actually would have been.
Yeah.
I don't want, and I'm telling you, if you do the math, he's coming out ahead at 20 million. So even if you say 15, but five just seems so small. That this guy has gotten paid millions upon millions of dollars to not play football now for, 28 games that he will have missed? 28 regular season games he will have missed in a row and gotten paid basically for every single one of them.
Yeah.
Or maybe we'll say he's been paid for 25 out of 28 games he has missed over this entire period. And that to me is kind of crazy.
Well, so, you know, continuing with the Browns and what's been going on there, Dee Haslin, one of the co-owners, was asked about Deshaun and his innocence. And she said, we respect his opinion. I do think that counseling Deshaun will learn more about himself. She also added, counseling is a process. It's going to take some time for him. We feel like he's making progress. So there might be something that has already been happening. There might have been a situation. Maybe his agent, David Mugaleta, has told him, hey, man, we need to get in front of this. We need to continue. We're going to support you. We got your back. We're not going anywhere. But what the processes that need to happen are these things. Because everybody that has done something wrong obviously needs some rehabilitation.
Yeah.
And I do believe in redemption. I don't know how much redemption people are going to give to him because of this situation. So it's going to be something that he's going to definitely have to work through. But there is going to be some progress and some processes that he's going to have to go through to make sure he reaches out to the right forms of people. He's talked about some of the counseling situations. He's talked about some of the groups that he's going to try to work with. That's all great. But if you're just doing it just to get by, it's not going to show your sincerity of your correction of what your life is.
No, and if I'm his agent, if I'm the owners of the team, if I'm any of those people, I want to get him help because I'm going to go, I don't want this to happen again.
Right.
And I don't trust that it's you can go from, you know, from reports of 60 to 100 over a year or 2 year span to completely stopping entirely and no longer having this, you know, whatever it is you want to say. If you want to, I don't believe that's real easy to just cut out of your life. I think that's something that when you get to a low point, you may go back to or something else. So you want to get the help to just go, hey, man, let's get him the actual help. Let's fix the problem. And we'll in the public do whatever else. But if the Browns organization has said, hey, man, we don't want you to get spent again next year.
Right.
Because while you're on your suspension, you go do something stupid.
Well, that's funny that you say that but part of his suspension and his therapy that he has to go through, it says if Watson doesn't comply with the treatment plan, his reinstatement could be delayed and he could receive further discipline.
Yeah.
So there's a lot that he still can lose. Yeah. In this situation, the settlement with the monetary part of it with these ladies, it is what it is. I don't know what they got. I get it. But the biggest part about them is the emotional strain and emotional scars that they have. And if he continues to walk around to and again, I would try to maintain my innocence as well.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be doing it every time a microphone got in front of me. I would do it as something else that I'm doing. Not publicly, but behind the scenes to try to make sure that everything else is headed in the right direction.
Yeah, it's definitely – it seems like they would have got him coached a little bit better as well. But, I mean, we've seen his lawyer also come out and say some wild things during this whole process. So maybe –
Yeah, Rusty Harden is not running away from conversation.
So maybe easy. Rusty has not trained him perfectly on how to dance around maybe getting sponsors back one day. Because that's where you're really losing a ton of money is in sponsorships, and that no one's going to be touching him until. And again, if in 2 years he takes the Browns to the Super Bowl.
Yep.
I mean,
there's a lot of people that are looking at it crazy.
Everything's looking the other way. But we'll get into that for a second. If the Browns right now, you say 11 game suspension, Hodge, you have Jacoby Brissett.
Yep.
You know Jimmy G's out there for probably a 6th or 7th round pick. Do you go for your Jimmy G? Do you say, hey, let's go this way? And we think we have a guy that even if Watson, it takes him a few more weeks to get back in, so we may not even get him back this season. We may not get him back until the very end, and we need to get through 12 to 13 games without him. Do we trust Jacoby Brissett, or do we go out and try and get another guy that we feel can do better when we've went out and got Amari Cooper, and now we've got problems with Kareem Hunt on this team as well because he wants to be traded, and we said no. What do you do if you're the Browns right now?
That's a great question, and that's the one that everyone is talking about right now. But I look at it like this. I'm a big fan of Jimmy G. Like I said, if he hits that touchdown pass to Emmanuel Sanders, he's still the man in San Francisco, and everybody loves him, but he missed it, and now he's unemployed, so to speak. I look at his starter. We talked about this a while back. He is 33-14 as a starter in the NFL. And I'm getting this quote from ESPN, and it says, according to Elias, it makes him one of only 9 quarterbacks since 1950 to post a winning percentage of over 700 with a minimum of 30 starts. Both in that starts, Garoppolo has averaged a touchdown and a half per game, which is more with more games with 0 touchdowns with 8. And then he also has thrown some games where he's thrown 3 touchdowns or more.
Yeah.
So for me, when I look at this and I say, do I go out and go get a Jimmy G? I'm going to say no right now. Okay. And the only reason why I say no is because of what he has around him, what Jacoby Brissett has around him.
Okay.
He's got a top-of-the-line defense that is getting better and better each year. You have an offense with a bunch of weapons that you can – hit some of these throws and make some plays. You've got two running backs in the backfield that are monsters. And if you can hold it down, yes, you're going to play some tough games. Yes, some teams are going to try to stack the box and make you beat them with Jacoby Brissett. But I think Jacoby Brissett can hold it down because of the way that this team is structured.
Yeah, and I mean, if you want to look at the one year where we have a real – I mean, 2019, 2017 are the 2 years we can kind of judge him the most in Indy when he had the most passing. His passer rating isn't great, but in 2019, he threw 18 touchdowns, 6 interceptions.
Yep.
And, I mean
– he was on a bad team too.
But what you need is, hey, what we need you to do is be a game manager. That's all we need, because we're going to hand the ball off to Nick Chubb. We're going to hand the ball off to Kareem Hunt. We're going to be, you know, trying to get Amari Cooper open where we can. But we don't necessarily need you to win us games, but you cannot lose us games.
Right.
And Jacoby Brissett is not a guy that is necessarily losing you a lot of games. So I'm with you. I don't trade for him. And if I'm Jimmy G, I don't necessarily want to go there, because I know there's no win for me past that season.
Right.
I know that if I get pulled out in week 14 and Deshaun Watson takes him to the playoffs – I'm getting the same crap I got in San Francisco.
Yeah, they're already going back to their
corner. Well, Deshaun did it. And you're like, man, he played 4 games.
Yeah.
I took us all the way and gave us the record, and then they benched me, and now I'm a bench player and I can't. So if I'm Garoppolo, I don't really want to go there either.
Yeah.
So I think it's one of those ones you're going to talk about a lot. And if Jacoby Brissett starts out slow, then, of course, that becomes more and more. But we've talked about it before. The Browns' schedule to start off is pretty easy. So I think it's a great step for him in the first 4 games to get some footing underneath him. But the only one you're wondering is Amari Cooper's got to be like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Come on, man. You're going to – now I got to – not going to get the ball anymore.
Exactly.
Everyone's going to say I'm overpaid still.
Well, when you bring it up, and I'm glad you did, because you sit here and you look at it, the Browns have cap space. We talk about cap space when we talk about the Cowboys. We talk a lot about that. But they have almost $49 million in cap space. So structurally, they can find a way to go get Jimmy. But the other part of this is Jimmy's still with the 49ers.
Yeah.
And you would have to trade something for him.
Yeah. I'm assuming
I don't know if they have anything that they would want to give up at this point for Jimmy G.
Yeah, I'm assuming you could probably get him for a 6. Just because no one else is going up against San Francisco. But I'm guessing they'd ask him, and he'd say, yeah, man, hold on to me. Like, I'm waiting for the first injury. We know there's going to be one. And if Jalen Hurts goes down in Philadelphia, trade me to Philadelphia.
Yeah.
You know, if Kyler Murray goes down again in Arizona, trade me to Arizona. Like, I think there's other, you know, places where he would say, oh, no, I can go there if this guy goes down for an extended period of time. So, and the 49ers, of course, would like to hold on, because if they can hold on till week 3 and send Jimmy G somewhere that someone's out, that's a great fit. If Matt Ryan doesn't work out in Indy, which I think Matt Ryan is going to work out in Indy.
I know he's going to work out.
But if you know, that's one of those things if you just don't know where someone could work out. I think that's not going to happen in the Browns. Both of us have to feel like we're on the same page that as much as the talk's going to come around for the next few weeks – of Jimmy G to the Browns.
Yeah.
And plus, you have to go learn that whole system by week 1, which is really hard when we're this far into training camp.
Yeah, this is one of the other things, too. This is why it is funny to me that the hate on Jimmy G was so strong in San Francisco. Last year, Jimmy G, who was coming off probably one of his best years, he averaged 7.7 yards per dropback, which led the NFL. Only Joe Burrow had more passing yards per attempt at 8.6 than Jimmy G. And people hate on this guy. It is unbelievable. I guess it's because he's good looking. It's kind of like the way we hate on Tom Brady. Everybody looks at Tom Brady. By the way, Tom Brady's got a lot to worry about
everybody,
over there in Tampa.
Everybody only wants an elite quarterback.
If you ain't elite, I got nothing for you. That's right.
Trash if you ain't elite.
You got to get up out of here. You got to get up out of here. We're going to continue this conversation. There's so much more to get into. I want to talk a little bit about the Dallas Cowboys when we come back, because there are some injuries that we didn't get a chance to talk about, but they activated the linebacker that we've been talking a lot about, and he got toasted yesterday. All that and more right here on Ball Don't Lie. Welcome back to a Yacht Rock Thursday right here on Ball Don't Lie. My man Patrick Davis keeping us going with the hits. Don't forget, Patrick Davis will make his big announcement tomorrow. Tomorrow, right, Patrick?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow's the day where he decides from 3 teams, because he's renounced his love for the Texans So now he's trying to figure out who is going to be his team moving forward. You got the Raiders. You got the Lions. And what's your third team?
49ers.
49ers. Oh, how ironic that you're getting rid. You got two teams that are associated with our man Rob Babers.
I know.
49ers with Shano and being a Detroit Lion, Rob Babers was.
I know. I mean, look, Shanahan is – I'm a fan of Shanahan. And I feel like I knew Rod when I became a fan of Shanahan.
Right.
But I did not know Rod, We worked together.
Right.
But, no, I was a fan of him from the, watching him with the Falcons. And that's – I just love the way his offense works. And so I was a fan of him when he went to the 49ers. I love what he's been able to do there. I'm excited about Trey Lance and that offense. But, yeah, it's still – it's –
It's coming kinda, down to the wire?
It comes down to the wire. It feels like a little bit bandwagon because the 49ers are so popular.
Right, right.
So it feels a little bit like that. So that's pulling me back a little bit. But they're, man, they're going to be a fun team to watch this year.
Well, I know one team that is not in your fandom, and that's the Dallas Cowboys. Now, I might be joining you here pretty soon, be looking for a new team if I have to still continue to go through some of the things that we are going through. As we told you yesterday, there was a little incident where CeeDee Lamb had a cut on his foot, didn't know how he did it, didn't understand that how you get a cut on your foot where it required stitches. But now there's a chance that he won't be playing in the game for a while. And then you have to look at the depth chart for the Dallas Cowboys. So coming into the season, you had already traded away Amari Cooper. You did sign James Washington. Was not going to be Amari Cooper, by the way. You drafted Jalen Tolbert, but now you lost James Washington. Michael Gallup is still hurt in his contract. You told us yesterday, Patrick, that his contract doesn't kick in until next year where he's starting to make some real money.
Yeah,
they
saved the contract because they needed to save money for this year that they're not going to use.
Right, that they're not going to use because they haven't picked anybody up. So as a Dallas Cowboy fan, and I know that there's some out there, and all you Cowboy haters, I know you're real excited about this. What is it about the Dallas Cowboys that makes the position of the wide receiver seem to be so fragile? We talked about Noah Brown. We talked about T.J. Vasher, who I think is going to be a part of this receiving team.
He needs to be.
Kevontae Turpin is there. Still not too excited about that because he's going to be used more on the return game.
Yeah, yeah.
He's not going to be that specialty guy. You still have Pollard, who I saw some video today, that he is working in the slot and doing some motion where he and Zeke can be on the field at the same time, and they're finding a way to get him the ball. But the Dallas Cowboys are trying to make a move with nobody, with no other pieces, and you can't put all that on Dak Prescott. Now, I know everybody wants to because he's making so much money, and they're feeling like he needs to be that guy. But when you look at the Dallas Cowboys offense, I'm still looking to see if Kellen Moore, if he's able to be more creative, to use some of these players. This goes back to what Rod was saying the other day, be a problem solver. How are you going to correct this? What can Dallas do, especially Kellen Moore, to get this thing fixed?
Yeah, I mean, and I think that's, for me, and we've talked about it before, the Kellen Moore thing of that he has not shown an emphasis in his game planning to feature your top guys. And what Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones have seemed to have built is, hey, we need to feature our top guys. And so when we talk about Tony Pollard looking better than Zeke, I get we can say all day long that Zeke, that Tony Pollard is better than Zeke, and I agree with that. But if we're going to pretend that Zeke is the main guy, you need to feature Ezekiel Elliott.
Right.
And we're past that now, but in the past few years, you need to do that. You need to feature CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper more than you did in the last couple years. And you didn't. You got Cedric Wilson paid. You got Michael Gallup paid because you were using those guys so much more. You're using Dalton Schultz, which we can all say, Dalton Schultz is a top 20 tight end in the league. He may be top 15, but he's not a top five, and you're putting him in the offense like he's a top five, top 10 guy. And so when you're constantly going to those check down guys, it's either you're working on Dak and you're not working with Dak enough to go, hey, man, you need to stick with that one, or you need to read it 1-2-1, 1-3-1, and go back to your number one receiver sometimes because we're just not getting the ball over there, and that's our best chance to win. Our best chance to get yards after catch is with our number one. The best chance to get the ball to come down. Like, you look at Noah Brown. This is Noah Brown going into his
sixth year.
His fifth year. So he played 2006, 2017, 2018, 2000. He missed 2019. So it's missed a year.
I see. Yeah,
so,
but
it is 6 years in time, 5 years he didn't play in 2019.
Yeah, we counted in time. Dog years.
So age mileage.
Yeah.
But if you want to look at like targets in 17, he had 9 targets, 4 receptions. 2018, 8 targets, 5 receptions.
Not progressing.
2020, 24 targets, 14 receptions. 2021, 25 targets, 16 receptions. You go, man, I need to see that receptions. If you're only getting in the game a couple times, I get you're going to miss sometimes.
Yeah.
But I need to see those numbers go up a little bit more. I need to see you getting open enough that you're getting those passes to you. And if you're looking at having a lot of guys that are going to have numbers similar to that, that is a lot of incomplete passes in a game. When we can say, all right, our best receiver is going to have 3 or 4 misses in a game on a good day.
Right.
And
but that's on Dak, too. He's got to be better. He's got to be accurate. He's got to make some adjustments as well. And that's something that I'm looking at him and saying, are you capable? I'm a big Dak fan, right? Once you go Dak, you don't go back. And now we continue to move forward. But is he that guy that can be that accurate to lead this team with a bunch of wide receivers that are pretty much no names?
Yeah. And I mean, you're sitting there with Jerry going, man, all right, you're going to make – none of these guys are on long-term deals, really. None of these guys are getting paid enough that they're going to stick around if you make them. I get the concept of you have drafted wide receivers well. You have homegrown built wide receivers well. But you can't just go – that's the Stephen Jones quote we had the other day. Right. Stephen Jones came out and said – hey, you know, I know everybody's all Rams, 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 and F them picks and all that, but we did that before and it didn't work. So we're not. And you go, you can't just stop doing the thing that we know works.
Because it works.
It works. We know
it works. Because it works.
You just did it wrong.
Right, right.
And they apparently have now forgone all thoughts of signing anybody. Now, I think they're still looking at wide receivers. They just may not like what's out there, and I think they're definitely waiting for the cuts to see if you maybe get a guy that they feel fits their system a little bit better that drops in one of these cuts. Now, if they're getting cut, I don't know if that's the guy you necessarily want. If a guy can't make the 80 man.
But it depends on if he's getting cut because of financial. There's a difference.
Like
there's
we just saw Malcolm Brown got cut from Jacksonville, and you have to figure that's more financial than anything else. But
Malcolm Brown, the defensive tackle. Everyone, don't panic. Don't panic. So let me ask you this: there's some receivers that are out there. Will Fuller, we know how explosive he is. He can stretch the top. He can make it go deep. But the problem is, he always seems to come up with an injury.
Yeah,
that's the one thing that I look at him, and he continues to be fragile. But if he is able to come out right now and be healthy up until you can start to get some people back, why not take a chance on that?
No, I am a fan of Will Fuller because I got to watch what he did so much in Houston.
Yep.
And when he was healthy, he was a legit number two wide receiver. And I think if you're looking at who's out there, Emmanuel Sanders is probably not. He is in that 2 to 3 range a little bit more now. If you want to look,
I would like him to be at the 2 because that's where we need.
No, exactly. But I'm saying I don't know if at this point in his career he's still at that 2. I think he's falling a bit more into the 3.
And what did you say about the third wide receiver when it comes to the Cowboys?
They use him a lot.
Thank you. Put him in that number 3 where he can be.
And that thing is, I don't know if he's going to be that guy this year because I don't know if he's got the step on him still, that youth to be able to get out and get those breakaways.
Yeah.
Cole Beasley, great slot guy.
Yep,
but again, this is going to be a guy who's going to get you a lot of 6-yard receptions on a 3rd and 8.
Yeah.
And so I'm not sure if that's a guy. Will Fuller, to me, is a guy that at least spreads the field a little bit more. He's a guy who can pull a safety away from CeeDee Lamb a little bit more. He can get you a little bit more out of CeeDee Lamb, I think, because of his threat of legs, than these other guys may be able to do.
Okay, so here's one more name, and I know he's a little long in the tooth, but he has been one of the most underrated wide receivers in the NFL for quite some time, and that's T.Y. Hilton. I think T.Y. Hilton is another person that can come in and be that number 2 because he's not a number 1 anymore. He can be a number 2 and possibly even that number 3 because if you go back and look at his history, some of the things he was doing with the crossing routes, how he was able to stretch the field as well, I think he's somebody that could be effective. The one person whose name keeps popping up, but I don't think it's worth them going out to get it, is Odell Beckham Jr. And the only reason why I say I don't think it's worth going out to get is because Odell Beckham Jr.'s injury came after Gallup's.
Yeah.
So he's going to be out regardless of how good he thinks he's rehabbing and he's going to be able to play. This is not the time.
I'd be fine with them bringing him in because then you're saying, all right, long term, we're still leaving Gallup in the three. We have OBJ, and now we have a three-headed monster again that we can feel be a very, very good offense.
Yes.
So I'm okay with it if you're working in that philosophy, but it doesn't fix your early season. I'll tell you, if you bring in T.Y. Hilton, what I like about that really is this is a super young receiving core right now.
Yep.
And to bring in a veteran like that, I think there's a lot of benefits to that past the first 4 to 5 weeks when he's going to be playing more big minutes in that number two, when Michael Gallup comes back and when James Washington comes back, and he may not be getting as many routes and may not be getting as many snaps, but I think his leadership of helping these young guys learn how to be a professional wide receiver, someone who played with Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
Someone who can sit there and say, I know how winners act. I know winning culture.
And he played with Andrew Luck, too, so he knows what that's about. And everything seems to be headed in the right direction when you start looking at the Dallas Cowboys and what's next. Anthony Barr is back at practice. He is trying to get himself back in shape, but he is going to provide some depth at that linebacker position. But the Cowboys are dealing with another injury on the defensive side of the ball, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But coming up next, we're going to get into our flex segment. My man Snoop, it's a flex. I'm going to let you know a little bit about what's going on at Flex ATX. All that and more right here on Ball Don't Lie on 104.9 The Horn.
Flex ATX for the best high school sports coverage. Listen to The Horn and go to FLXATX.com.
This almost sounds like Ray Parker Jr.
Oh, I wonder if he's in this band. I don't know if he may be in this band.
Who is this?
Because the name of the band is Radio, spelled Ray, R-A-Y-D-I-O. It is Ray Parker Jr.
Yeah,
is in Radio.
Yes, I knew it.
I did not know. Man, that's a good call. You knew something I didn't even know about this.
I knew that. I was like, wait a minute, this sounds just like Ray Parker Jr. That's right. It's Yacht Rock Thursday right here on Ball Don't Lie. And I got one. I was like, man.
You got one I did not. I knew it was Radio. I did not know it was Ray Parker Jr. was in Radio.
Oh, man, that is outstanding. Because I was just like, wait a minute, hold up. This sounds like this is going to be Ray Parker Jr. just because of the beat, the melody, the way it was hitting right there. Just sounded like something like Ray Parker Jr. would do. But let's get right into it. The Flex ATX. Get over to Flex ATX. My man Snoop Daniel and his crew, they did a great job last night. Last night was the last show of the preseason. They will start doing it on Thursday and Friday night next week because there will be some games on Thursday, and I know that they will definitely be doing it every Friday night moving forward.
Yeah, I know we have Thursday next week. We have the Lake Travis game.
Right here.
Right here on 104.9 The Horn. I think we may be carrying Vandegrift on Friday here on The Horn as well.
Okay.
But I'm not 100% on that one, but I think because Lake Travis is on a Thursday, I think we're still going to do high school football on a Friday.
I love it. And those guys do a great job. Get over to flexatx.com, and you can find out more information. But also you'll find out Snoop did a great job of putting together – the scrimmages for all the local teams. And on Thursday night, which is tonight, Round Rock and Harker Heights, Smithville and LBJ, Vandegrift and Hutto, Rouse and Westwood, Layman and Crockett, Austin High and Connolly will be scrimmaging tonight. And it is going to be that time. Tomorrow night, Westlake will scrimmage Cedar Park, Lake Travis will scrimmage Cedar Ridge, Maynard will scrimmage, it says Temple versus and Killeen. I don't know how they're going to do that. Maynard New Tech will scrimmage against Northeast. If you want more information, go over to flexatx.com. Go to all their social apps. And last night it was really cool. We were on the air at the time when local product Brett Beatty came up to bat in his first at bat, his second pitch that he saw. He hits a home run to right field. And the Flex crew, who have been following these kids for such a long time, I heard E. Hogan talking about his son Nolan playing against Brett Beatty and got a chance to watch that kid play as a youngster. And that's what Flex is all about. As a matter of fact, we just found out Lake Travis is actually scrimmaging tonight. not tomorrow night. Like Travis is scrimmaging Cedar Ridge tonight. But for Brett Beatty coming up to be able to hit that home run, the Flex crew was going nuts at the same time we were going nuts. You were like, breaking news. And I'm like, what is happening? And you're like, Brett Beatty, bomb. And that's exciting. That's what it's all about. As someone who played professional baseball for a very long time, to get that opportunity to play in the big league, especially after being a first-round pick that he was, and 3 years later he's in Atlanta in the middle of a pennant race, getting a chance. He hit one ball. He didn't get a base hit out of it, but he hit a ball to the shortstop. He hit it 113 miles an hour to the shortstop. It was one of the hardest balls hit last night, and it was lefty on lefty. And for him to be able to do that and turn it around like that, that's something that's impressive. And if you go back and look at any of the videos, he gave his mom an I love you while he was rounding the bases. But Francisco Lindor looks to be taking him under his wing and talking to him. And that is what it's all about. It's so beautiful when you start seeing some of these kids get a chance to grow up. And we talked about it the other day when we first got the news that he was being called up. We talked about Garrett Wilson, another Lake Travis Cavalier, being in New York playing for the Jets, and now Brett Beatty being called up to the big leagues and playing for the New York Mets. Two Texas boys about to take over the city of New York.
I saw Garrett Wilson tweeting out about the home run as well yesterday. He's in the lineup again tonight against Max Fried in this series. So we'll see if he can make some more magic. But, yeah, it was fun. Nolan Hogan in the hallway goes, man, that's the long – I saw him hit the longest home run I've ever seen in my life. Yeah. It was still going up when it went over the fence when I saw him play. So yeah, it was fun to see them hooting and hollering in the hallway before the show.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's what Flex is all about. This is where we try to make sure that these kids – get noticed locally before they blow up big. And for those in those communities that have watched these kids grow up and being a part of it, family, friends, and all the people that have been there supporting them, and to see all those people that went to Atlanta to watch him make his major league debut, that was great. And that was the beautiful part about it, because it's something that I've been around the game a long time, and I know how hard it is to hit the baseball like that, number one. Number two, to make it to the big leagues. And then to put a city and a town on your back and say, you know what? This is what we do out here. And to go out there and still be in that lineup. He's going to play a lot because he is the number two prospect in their organization. So he's going to get every opportunity in the big leagues. It's kind of like what we've been talking about, like these Rangers players. The Rangers have been doing unbelievable work, too, with some of their young players, and now that they've got the change that is going on, things are going to be different around here. But kudos to them, kudos to Brett Beatty, and congratulations on hopefully a long historical career.
Yeah, and it ain't like the Mets are bad.
Right.
The Mets are the second best record in the National League right now.
Yep.
So you're coming up on a good team and could be
in
a part of something.
In a pennant race.
In a pennant race. Could be something very special there in New York.
And not only that, you're getting to play on a team with not only with Lindor and some of those other superstars, but you got a pitching staff that has the likes of Matt Scherzer and Jacob deGrom, who happens to be pitching tonight, and you're playing third base for him. So, yeah, you get a lot of love when it comes to that.
And there might be a famous third baseman from the Mets, too.
Yeah, there it is. There might be a famous one coming up soon. We're going to get into the Horn Top 20 Countdown, brought to you by Allstat Beer, when we get back. We're also going to talk a little bit more about this Deshaun Watson decision. Is it good enough? Is it long enough? Is everybody happy? We don't know. But he's going to have to deal with it and deal with the repercussions as well. All that and more right here on Ball Don't Lie on 104.9 The Horn.